Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday, about 22 minutes away from talking to Joe Patrick. Smoke and Joe going to join us and check in on the Atlanta Braves as they send another pitcher down to the minors. We'll get to that in a minute as well. Highlights from last night, or lowlights, I guess. At Tuki Toussaint on the mound tonight with a lot to prove. So hopefully Tuki can go out there and do something similar to what he did the last time he was out. Also going to get to an AMA at 1:40 where you can text us your questions. You could tweet us your questions, or you could call us on the phone, old school, 404-741-0929, and ask us a question that way. You all right over there?
Yeah, that poke rind crumb got me.
Oh, you inhaled back of your throat?
Yeah, man. You know how when it's at that crumb corner, and you just do and you drop it down your mouth, yeah, it just got me. I'm trying to rush back.
I understand.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah, I'm straight.
All right, good. Good. Yeah. Well, damn it. I lost my train of thought. There was something I was going to say before we go. You got something? Okay, good.
Yeah, they were telling me, Kenny said something in a break, and Kevin Troy. So I guess it's a movie by a fan. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Will found out about it. Now he's making it into a movie. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, because I guess it's going to be on. I guess it's going to be on one of. It's going to be a series. Okay. Okay. It's going to be a series. Okay. Cool. Let me tell you that. I'll tell you a series, but Andy, this is why you can tell I was bored. Oh, no, what made me do this last night? But I watched like the first two episodes of Playmakers. You remember Playmakers?
Oh, yeah.
What? That is one of the dumbest damn shows ever. Always talking about it. It is so.
It's really not that good.
Who going to smoke crack before the damn game and then going to go have 176 yards and three? And if anybody watched that show, and I can't believe when I was watching it, I did not notice this. What the hell about Omar Gooden says? Tailback?
Running back? I mean, I don't know. There's been some running backs built kind of like that before. Kind of. You know.
Man, this dude went and smoked crack. This dude, they pulled up to the stadium and he left and went and smoked some crack, man. Please. Oh, then, dude, the I can't even talk. The P test? You do not stand in front of a table full of people and pull your drawers down and pee in a cup.
Yeah,
that's
but
not
here's
how
the thing.
It works.
You know that because you played
in
the NFL.
Oh, my God. Bro.
We don't know. We believe anything. Like, we watch anything about professional sports.
I was like, did he just pull down his drawers in front of this dude? Look, that is not how it works. They went and spoke some crap. He went and got high before the game.
Come and then had a great game.
Dude.
He went off.
A great game.
Got in the end zone a bunch of times.
Are you serious?
Well, and it's funny, too, because like the best thing that ever happened to that show in terms of the way that it's remembered is that it got pulled because the NFL was like, too realistic, I guess. I guess that's what the NFL decided. Yeah. So now everyone's like, the show's iconic. They were telling too much truth. And now,
are you serious?
Too much truth.
Too much truth?
Do you have a lot of teammates smoking crack right before kickoff?
No,
you didn't.
No, get to the stadium itching and then go back to get. No, bro.
There was that story though. Remember that 30 for 30 about that Boston Celtics player who grew up in one of the suburbs of Boston and had a real bad drug problem. I think it was opiates for him, but he met a drug dealer like 10 minutes before tip-off. He was fiending like that and met a dope dealer like 10 minutes before tip-off in his uniform, in his Celtics warm-ups, in like one of the loading docks back behind the garden.
I never believed that.
He did it. Why. He told the story.
Oh, he did? I still don't believe him, man.
Really?
I don't believe that.
Why would he lie about that?
I don't know. Hell, Andy, he a damn pimp? Oh, I don't know, man. But I mean, I was sitting there watching, I'm like, what the hell is he doing? He really did go get. He really did portray himself going to get some crack, and then he dropped it on the rug, and I was just like, okay, man. But the funniest thing was the drug test. I was like, hold on, I forgot all about this. This dude just stand in front of the table with three folk and pull his pants down, and then the other dude held the cup for it. Come on, man.
Again, if you don't know, you think that's the truth. You think that's how it works. We did have a question about in the AMA. We'll get to it at 140. About the old series. What old series, forgotten about series, needs to be made into a movie? So we'll get into that at 140. With all that said, I think that's a great way to start the 1 o'clock hour. Let's get to what's trending round two.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Brought to you by Boomer Naturals 3-layer face covers.
He did.
Out toward right center field. Going back on it is Acuna Jr. That one is long gone. Into the Braves bullpen. A 3-run home run for Bryce Harper. And the Phillies jump out to the early lead.
It's incredible how much more annoying it is to hear Braves lowlights from the perspective of the team that's happy. That was from the Phillies play-by-play crew last night. That was Bryce Harper taking Sean Newcomb deep in the first inning when Sean Newcomb was still in the game. Then he came back in the second inning and got one out and gave up a bunch more runs and a grand slam to Didi Gregorius. And then that was it for Sean Newcomb, not just last night, but in general. They sent him down to the minor leagues. So, Randy, the Wankster wagon continues, and Sean Newcomb is on it.
Yep, that's exactly what it is, the Wankster wagon. And they're bringing up Bryce Wilson, so we'll see how that goes. So, I mean, this is where we're at right now. We kept saying, we're still there. There's only four. There we have a rotation with four holes in it. Four. We got Spades hand, and we got just five cards. We got a definite ace of spades and Max Fried, and the rest we got some twos, maybe a five of diamond and a six of club or something like that. Man, this is so uncertain right now. And now the ticket is going tonight. It would be so bad. And tomorrow when we get on here and we crack open his mic tomorrow, if Tookie plays bad, it's going to really irritate me. It's going to irritate me anyways, because then it's like, okay, well, hell, Tookie gone. Now who's next? Who's the next that's going to get their teeth kicked in again? And then the Braves end up winning the game 10-9 or something. You know, that's what, you know what I mean? Like, what is going to happen tonight? I asked you earlier in the show, I said, what are your expectations for Tookie today? What'd you say?
I think I hemmed and hawed and said, yes. I don't know, man. Yeah. Like normal.
Yeah. We don't know.
Let me come up with a better answer than that. What are my expectations for Tookie tonight? Yes. I expect him to be closer to what he was last time out than what he's been before. Like, I'm not saying he had, like, 9 strikeouts, 6 2/3. He was dominant. No walks. That's going to be really hard to duplicate, and the Yankees are a really good lineup. But you got to be somewhere close to that. Like, don't regress. Don't be up and down and completely unpredictable. This is the thing that's really frustrating to me about Sean Newcomb, too, is these guys were gifted. And I know I don't want to talk about Soroka being injured as a good thing, because it's not. But in terms of their careers and their ability to make this rotation, it was a good thing. They were gifted the opportunity to be a part of this starting rotation. And Sean Newcomb just peed down his leg. Got sent back down to Gwinnett. Tookie, looking at the gift of being in this starting rotation for the remainder of the season, all he has to do is pitch okay. All he has to do is pitch okay, and he's going to stay in the starting rotation for the remainder of the season. Don't blow it.
And he did. It was his to lose. And we got to have Joe P on, and maybe it was. I mean, the stoppage of baseball? It had to hurt him the most, man. Because I mean, this is unacceptable, man. And now we are like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that when he was walking off that mound, Schnick told him, "Are you done?" And he probably was like, "Yeah, no, I'm walking off the mound. No. You done up here with us."
Mean for today.
Yeah,
and then
I don't mean for
after
today.
The game, had to do something that he's done already this season, which is this.
No, we optioned him, actually.
Okay.
After the game. Go back, just like we did last year. Go back down. He'll go back to the alternate site and keep throwing. And we're going to need him before this thing's over with. Again, I don't know. And, you know, I don't know if he'll be starting, relieving, or whatever. But, you know, he just got to go back, keep pitching.
Yeah. Snitt's post-game press conference telling us that a pitcher got sent down before the game was over. We're familiar with that this year. Except last time it was DFA'd with Mike Foltynewicz. I guess they'll need him again this year. It's likely that somebody will get banged up or you need an extra bullpen arm here or there or something like that. But here's the reality of the season. The roster is shrinking. Like, you go from 30 to 28 to 26. You're not going to be able to have 16 pitchers on your roster for the entire year. So, what was the dude's name who came in last night after Newcomb?
Who the hell
wasn't
was that
any
guy?
Good either? Robbie Erlein. He wasn't any good either.
What the hell? I'm still trying to figure out why you put Rob in there.
Just to call Rob. Get innings, just get out of that game.
I understand why they did it, but I'm like, who the hell is this dude?
Yeah, it was his debut, and it wasn't very good.
Whatever. So, again, these are the things that you expect, though. Like, it couldn't get no worse after Newcomb. You knew that it was, I'm talking about for the pitching wise, it was going to be that bad. That's why I'm glad. That's why I'm glad that dude didn't come in, because it would have got even worse. It would have got even worse. I guarantee it. It would have got worse.
Are you prepared for a Luke Jackson start at some point in the next week? Have you evolved enough to deal with 77 on the mound to start the game? Because it's coming. It's going to happen. Like, at some point this year, that's going to happen.
I'm evolved enough to know that I ain't worried about that cat. You know what I mean? Because I already know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. No, I know. Nothing good. No. I know what's going to happen. And I hope it does go good. I always want to stand by that. I want him to do well. I just don't think that he will. But if he does, good, man. It's good because I'm happy that he does well. But I ain't going to put my hope into it. No, not going to at all.
All right. The process of evolving continues. College football news today has been few and far between. I mean, yesterday was insane. Report after report after report. Today's been pretty quiet. Here is one thing that came out about half an hour ago. Bruce Feldman retweeted this from a business reporter. Apparently, the Duke infectious disease specialist, who chairs up the ACC's medical advisory team, has confidently said that he expects the conference, the ACC, to continue its steady march towards a football season. So the medical advisors for the ACC are giving him the green light. That's different than what we're hearing from the Big Ten medical advisors and the Pac-12 medical advisors, who met with the Pac-12 presidents yesterday and told them they're worried about this, that, and the other. It's really, I don't know, it's kind of bizarre that each conference is getting different medical advice.
Yes, exactly. Like, this is why can't all the doctors, why can't all the medical staff, y'all all go somewhere on a Zoom call, whatever, and just talk? Why can't y'all just, that's what I'm saying, is it a secret or something? Well, we can't tell them that we got this. Guess what we just found out about? Well, I mean, I understand that the cases or whatever is different in different states and regions and all. I know that, but ain't all of it kind of much, damn, right? They only go together. Aren't they all like the same symptoms or sort, whatever? I mean, let me say, it's the same damn disease, right? It's the same virus, right? It's the same virus. So don't y'all think that I bet all of them went to the same damn school and was like, nah, I'm not telling him anything. He was third in our class. And he was first. Like, letting eggheads feel that important. This is what this is right here.
That's Dexter interesting.
Is not, Dexter is not going to tell Tim what he got, because Dexter scored a 98 on the final exam and the other one scored a 96. That's what it seems like it is right now.
Maybe he stole Lucy.
He might have stole Lucy away from him. You don't know. But I'm just saying, this is a trip that there's so many, there's different answers for the same virus.
Yeah.
From everybody.
And that's why Ryan Day said this yesterday about trying to make sure they can play a season.
You know, these kids, we know we owe it to these kids. They've done everything we've asked. They've poured their heart and soul into this thing. Some of them since they've been just little kids in Pop Warner. And, some guys have overcome injury. You know, everyone has their own story. Some people have, gone from school to Ohio State or from a different school and transferred. Some guys have been there 5 years. Some guys have been there 1 year. I mean, everyone has their own story. And so I just think that we owe it to them to make sure we're exhausting all these options to find out, what's the safest possible environment we can create for them.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why all the different medical opinions are valuable. I just hope all of the different advisors that the conferences have, like you're saying, Randy, or at least paying attention to what one another are saying. It's going to be very strange if the Big Ten doesn't play football this fall and the ACC and the SEC does.
Right.
I mean, we're going to watch it and we're going to talk about it and we're going to hope that everybody is healthy and all that. But it's going to be because they're making the decisions based on the same information.
That's what I'm saying. Why wouldn't if you had some information that you don't think another team, another conference, why wouldn't you share that? If you got some new information, why not share it? That's what I'm saying. Like, this thing is you're having this blank measuring contest, and now you're in a position that we're all in. I mean, sorry, not us, because we don't have to deal with that. These young men are in right now of possibly not having a football season. If you got it and it's going to benefit, if you got it and you think it's going to benefit, then why not give it to them? If we all on the same thing of trying to get this thing going, that's why I said, we should, the Big Ten even wants to play football.
The coaches do, and the players do. We know that. We've heard from them. The presidents, I don't know. They had a meeting earlier today. Maybe we'll find out in the next 45 minutes, or by tonight, or tomorrow. Joe Patrick going to join us next, our Braves insider. Find out what's going on with the pitching rotation. Tukey goes tonight. Smoke and Joe joins the show coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. A couple segments left here on a Tuesday, 20 minutes away from the AMA. You can either tweet us, text us, or call us. Phone lines are open for the AMA now, 404-741-0929. So get your questions ready. Get your fingers ready to dial the phone. Maybe you got us on speed dial. I don't know. But we'll take your calls coming up in about 20 minutes. Before we get there, Joe Patrick joins us to talk some Braves. And Joe, I want to start by asking you about Sean Newcomb. And whether or not, when they pulled him from the game last night after he gave up all those hits and runs, you think that was it? Do you think that they were going to option him when they pulled him out of the game in the second inning yesterday?
I did, actually. Just because this isn't something that has just kind of cropped up out of nowhere. This is something that's been building throughout the season. And, you know, Nuke went out there and had a better performance in his last outing before the one last night, but it still wasn't great, and he had to, like, get out of some jams, and, it was just a reversion back to the frustrating guy he had been early on in the season, his first start or two. And so it's just a situation where the main reason why I wasn't surprised that they optioned him was just because when you have a pitcher in that form, you can't afford to carry a starting pitcher like that's pitching like that on your roster, especially in such a shortened season where his every start he makes is incredibly important. So if you don't have faith that a guy like Newcomb's going to be able to even throw strikes to any given batter in any given inning, you never know when he could throw eight straight balls, whether it be in the fifth inning or the first inning. You just can't afford that kind of that volatility from that position. So I think that the Braves are going to go with somebody who is just at least going to be more consistent. You know, that's the thing with Newcomb, is it's never been about his stuff. His stuff has always been great, but the Braves just need somebody that they know what they're going to get out of them, and I think that they probably have some of those guys lined up that they'll be ready to go to.
You said it wasn't that good, Joe. That damn thing was awful. Hey, he was awful yesterday, man. He was awful. And I know you thought that, you know, he was one of the guys that probably did like suffer from the fact that the league had to restart and all that, because he was pitching well in spring training. Where did they go from here, then? I mean, our show, we called the Wankster Wagon. So they're bringing up Bryce Wilson and everything. I mean, what happens if he tanks? What happens today, Joe? I'm asking you the same way I asked Andy. What are your expectations today for Tukey?
Well, my expectations today for Tukey are not what they were. What he did in the last game. If he does replicate that performance, that would be amazing and maybe even more of an eye opener than what he did last time. But if he can do that two times in a row, that would be pretty incredible. You just hope he has command of the breaking ball. If he's got that, then everything plays off of it, and he can, he can be so good. I mean, we've all seen the flashes from Tukey, and it was just so great in that last start to see him put it together. As for Bryce Wilson, the Braves called up Bryce Wilson today, having option Nuke, and he is kind of the replacement in the short term, but I do not expect Bryce Wilson to be the guy who takes Sean Newcomb's role in the starting rotation long-term or even short-term. I think Bryce Wilson's the guy you're looking at who you can actually add to your bullpen contingent, and he can be a guy who can pitch a couple innings if you need to over these next couple games. But I wouldn't be surprised to see the Braves actually call up another arm to make that start if they feel like there's somebody in Gwinnett who can make that start for them in Newcomb's place. I know Tucker Davidson's been a guy that has just been – everybody's been talking about Tucker really since spring training. I mean, he's just – steadily improved. The coaches love him. The writers around the team really love him. And he's a guy who I definitely think will be in contention. Patrick Weigel, is another guy who's been, you know, one of the better starting pitching arms for the Braves, who's a little bit more developed. Ian Anderson is obviously a guy that we've talked a lot about, and he's just a guy who obviously is very, very talented, but he's the most raw of any of these guys who could come up. So I think that you're probably looking at Weigel or Davidson to make Newcomb start. But they could also go with Tyler Matzek or Josh Tomlin, and we talked about before, taking, you know, Mike Soroka's role in the rotation. There's so many ways the Braves could go at this thing. Again, this is all part of the challenge for Brian Snicker this year, is how creative can you be? How well can you adapt to the crazy wrenches that this season is going to throw at you? And I think so far they've done very well in that, so you just hope they can kind of continue to patchwork some things together before I think they'll probably make a trade before the trade deadline passes.
Joe, who the hell was that they went after Nuke yesterday? I mean, because we were like, okay, that's, I mean, and I know my tone comes up. I'm like, who is that dude that they brought in, and what is going to be his role going further? And Andy really upset me because he's thinking that maybe that dude that I don't like is going to make possibly get a start in the near future.
Yeah, I don't think so. That's Erlen. He was just picked up by the Braves, and I don't think, like, I was honestly surprised that he was not DFA'd after that game, because it's just one of those seasons where the Braves, you know, if or any team really, like, if you just don't need a guy around, then you're just going to DFA him. And yeah, he's kind of he's not a guy that I would look at long term, Robbie Erlen. He was kind of to me, like, when you get a start like that, you just kind of go with the guy who you can roll out there, who's, you know, obviously he got the Braves into more damage yesterday, but you just try to kind of conserve the rest of the arms that you have and try to strategize for how you can win the next day. I'm not saying they were tanking that game last night after that start, but when you get off to such a poor start, you're just more likely to throw in an arm that you feel like is expendable to an extent. And I would not expect him to be on the Braves active roster long term.
Okay.
He meant Luke Jackson.
I was hoping you meant Seth Marcel.
Oh, Luke. Luke is a good. I will continue to stand for
everybody,
Luke Jackson.
Everybody says that, Joe, but Andy's saying that he might get a start. Do you agree with that?
I mean, yeah, I could definitely see that. I could definitely see that. You know, like Brian Snicker. You know, Huascar Ulloa got the start on Sunday during the doubleheader.
That's
like an opener. That was essentially the Braves using an opener, and I could totally see Luke Jackson being a guy who the Braves are willing to open a game with, because he's a guy, like, his slider, when it's on, it's
nasty.
So good. Where he gets in trouble is when he needs to throw the fastball, and he just has kind of a flat fastball that hitters are able to time up. But, you know, I like Luke Jackson. I think he could be an opener type, and I think that that's exactly the kind of role you would want him being in. It's a, you know, you guys love the low leverage situations for Luke Jackson. So I think that, you know, that's a pretty low leverage opening the game.
Yeah. I just hope that evolving continues over there in the Louisville, Randy. I hope so.
It is.
Hey,
it
Joe
is.
Patrick joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking Braves after what happened with Sean Newcomb last night. It seems like every time we talk to you, Joe, it's Tuesday and Thursday, we're talking about a new opening in the rotation. Is this just bad luck, or is it all bad luck, or is it some bad planning? Like, how does it get to this point 18 games into a season?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you can't really legislate for something like what happened to Mike Soroka. You know, even it would even be more understandable or, like, predictable, I guess, to an extent, if it was some issue with his shoulder or an arm or something, you know. Something that had to do with the short run-up. The crazy thing about his injury was it had nothing really to do with any of the circumstances surrounding this season. You know, and then obviously Sean Newcomb's a guy that I think everybody kind of knew that had the potential to be really good, and also had the potential to have happened what exactly has transpired with him, where he ends up getting sent down. I think, you know, his performances that he gave in the initial spring training in March gave everybody a little bit more optimism that he'd kind of turned a corner. But ever since the team came back for this summer camp, he never quite kind of seemed to have that same momentum behind him. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if you can chalk it up to any one thing. I think you have to take all these things individually on their own merits. But I think that the Braves are very fortunate. They have so many prospects in the pipeline that are close to the major league level. So even though they're probably not guys you're super comfortable throwing in there, like a Touki Toussaint, for example, maybe, you know, they're close enough to the point where you can actually give them a run out, see how they do, and potentially build off of it. So, yeah, that's, again, what they love to see from Tukey, and hopefully we can see more of that from guys who get the opportunity.
Joe, you know, we've been getting tweeted today, and I'm going to go back to a name you said earlier about him being raw. How far along or how far away is a guy like an Ian Anderson? And is he going to probably be on the trajectory? I don't want to say trajectory. Are they going to probably, you know, they don't want him to get, as a young pitcher, getting rocked early and to ruin his confidence?
Yeah, so I think that is definitely a big part of it. That's a huge part of it with any prospect, really. But here's the thing with Ian Anderson. Anderson had a ton of success at the AA level. He's like one of the best pitchers in when he was with the Mississippi Braves. But when you come up to AAA, a couple things. One, obviously, is you're facing a new level of talent, and Ian did have some adjustment issues with that. His walks were up. But also, when you go up to AAA, you actually use a different ball. You use a ball that they use in AAA and the major leagues. And so when you see a difference like that, like the walk increase with a different ball, I think you really need to take your time with guys who get to AAA, especially pitchers, to make sure that they have a feel and they're able to do the things that they did at the lower levels with that different ball. And I know it sounds like it probably is minuscule, but for a pitcher, you know, these guys are little mad scientists with with how they go about it, and they have to have like a personal relationship with that ball, you know. And so I think that for those reasons, you just want to take your time with a guy like Anderson so that when he gets to the major league level, he's ready for success and he's not kind of, you know, worrying that he's going to be demoted the day after if he has a bad start or something like that.
Hey, Joe, who's winning the third base battle right now?
Man, it's rough. I think Riley is still like the Brian Snicker says he likes what he's seeing from Austin Riley. You know, I know the stats aren't really there, but you know, he likes the improvements that he's seeing with his at bats, and that's the big thing for Riley long term. Obviously, in the short term, you want to see more production, but I think Austin Riley and his defense honestly has been very impressive. I think the coaches and the coaching staff in general has been really impressed with the way he moves. His athleticism at that position is really impressive. So, you know, neither of them are really covering themselves in glory right now. But I would give the edge to Austin Riley there.
Last thing, Joe, when you look at this outfield and all the guys, I mean, did we even see this from Adam Duvall? I mean, I think the way he's been playing lately, Joe, has been outstanding. It's been an extra bonus. And talk about that catching position also.
Well, the thing is with Duvall, he's a guy who was doing what Austin Riley was doing in Gwinnett last year. He hit 30 home runs. He was one of the Braves' leading home run hitters last year, just not at the major league level. So it's really great to see him continuing to have that success. He's a really good, humble guy, and honestly, defensively, he doesn't get enough credit. He's athletic and gets the work done out there. And at catcher, I think the Braves have been been a pleasant surprise to have guys like Wilson Contreras step in. Travis d'Arnaud's been huge.
Great.
I said William Contreras, but yeah, Travis d'Arnaud's been amazing for them, and I think that they're very happy to go two-year contract with him. That's a very long-term deal for the Braves.
Joe, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it, brother.
We'll talk on Thursday. There's not any new openings in the starting rotation. We'll talk to you then.
I'll believe it when I see it. Sounds good,
Joe Patrick there, our Braves insider. You can check out the Batter Up podcast on 929thegame.com as well with him and Willie P. and Caleb Johnson. Coming up next, the AMA. Any question, any topic, Twitter, text line, or phone lines. You could call us, 404-741-0929. Give us a call. Ask us a question like that. We'll get to the AMA coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Any question, any topic, Randy, to close the show out every single day. Brought to you by Right From The Heart and RightFromTheHeart.org. I got some good ones on Twitter. I know Brian's got a couple over there on the text line as well, 404-741-0929, the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. But we got a phone call. We got another phone call to lead off the AMA. Thomas in Douglasville. Hey, Thomas, what do you got?
Hey, Randy, Matt, Bunk.
What's up, buddy?
I know Andy's still playing the 11th hole, so my question is for Randy, Matt. The fair is at my local mall. Do you eat fair food? If so, what's your go-to? I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, homie. He said, if I go to the mall, what do I get?
Fair food.
Oh, fair food. I gotta have the damn the turkey leg. I don't care where we are, whatever fair we go to. Donna knows that I got it. I'm not leaving without my turkey leg. So because fair turkey legs are different. Even though it's actually ham. It tastes more like ham than turkey. But just the fact is, I like that gristle part at the bottom part of the bone, Andy, where that little fat little thing is right there.
Yeah.
Where you rip that thing open, all that gristle be off in there. Woo! Woo!
So last year when I smoked turkey legs for Thanksgiving,
yes,
I read a bunch of different ways to do it. And one of the things they had written about was fair turkey legs. If you wanted to make a turkey leg at the house, tastes like that. And the part of the recipe, and I didn't try it, but I want to someday. Apparently, you do like the pre-cooking, like the you boil them in Sprite.
Yes.
It sounds crazy, but yeah. I mean, I would try it if you could make that out. If I go to the fair, I got to get a corn dog. Those fresh dip giant corn dogs.
Oh, God, yeah, they're so good. Those are good. They're good. So then homemade skins. You get them homemade skins be on too.
I mean, is there anything bad at the fair? That you got the elephant ear, which is delicious.
I'm trying to think.
The funnel cakes are delicious. Fair it's food. All bad fair. For you.
Yeah, it's all bad for you. But fair food, good. But yeah, you give me. She knows. I don't care how many times I go to the fair. I got to get turkey leg every single time. Every single time.
Yeah. I want to make some turkey legs one of these days. All right, which number do you dislike more walking to the mound? 77 or 15?
Who the 15, hell is 15? Sean Newcomb. Oh, okay, I never paid attention. I don't hate. Okay, this is good. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate anybody on this planet except for a couple other guys in this business. I can't damn stand. I kick them in their mouth if they was in my face. But just like hate. I don't hate, but I would prefer to see.
Escalated.
I would prefer to see 15 on there than 77. 77 just I know he's a good guy, and from what everybody says, he's a cool cat. Fine. We ain't friends, so I can just talk about you pitching. And he was annoying as hell. As good as that slider is, and Andy, it is funky and wicked when it's on. It's everything else outside of it. Damn it.
This is a really weird one, and I don't really know how to answer it, but I'm going to read it anyway. On an average day, how many pigeons do you think that you could carry?
Like bird pigeons? Or is that another word for something else?
I don't know. I don't know. I hope it's not some weird word for something else, some weird drug-related term. I don't know. Pigeons are, you know, well, how much does a pigeon weigh? 5 pounds, maybe?
I don't know, Andy. I've never picked up one.
Neither have I. Have you ever seen a baby pigeon?
Probably, Andy.
I don't think I have. I never seen a baby. You know, there's people that legitimately believe that birds are all fake, that they're robots controlled by the government to monitor us.
Yeah, I mean, and in today's society, how where we are right now? Hell yeah, I think they're crazy as hell, but yeah.
I do too. There's a faction, and those people that believe that think that the pandemic is actually so it could swap out all the birds because they were all old models. So they needed to get the 5G birds up there in the atmosphere to control us better.
Yeah. I believe that, homie.
It would be a hell of a thing to walk around believing stuff like that. Like I don't know.
Yeah, it would be, like, but they're around here. They're around here.
I know they are, and it's like we eat the same food. You know, like they're people just like us. They need sandwiches and all that. But they think birds are watching us. They think birds are fake, controlled computers. When you pour coffee into a thermos and it stays warm, you pour iced tea into a thermos, it stays cold. How does the thermos know the difference?
Oh, my damn. I don't know. Right. Maybe because the coffee is hot already, and so it adjusts to the hotness, and if you eat and drink the iced tea, you put the ice in there, it cools down the thermos. Is that good enough?
Yeah, it's temperature.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, it sounded pretty good, though.
I'm sure there's some sort of like... some sort of chemistry involved in it that I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, it controls the temperature, whether it's hot or cold. All right, let's get to Brian and see if he's got any good ones over there.
I got a question in just a second, but just so you know, pigeons weigh between 2 and 4.5 pounds. And now we know
thank
that.
You.
So I could carry, like, I could probably carry, like, 40 pigeons.
Okay. Pigeons crap on you all the time.
Well, I'm assuming they're dead. Otherwise, they wouldn't let me pick them up.
That is a great point, Andy. Why am I picking up dead pigeons?
Because somebody told you couldn't. It's a bet. Like, how many pigeons could you pick up? You're trying to prove how strong you are. Try to pick up a live pigeon. I'd like to see that. That'd be a tough one.
Oh, no, I'm good on that. I'm good on that. But the Pelicans, the Peacocks, like at the resort we were staying at, like they just had peacocks randomly roaming around the resort and everything, Andy.
Really?
So nice. They were so nice. And
with
to
the big feathers and everything?
Yeah, man. It was cool, right? They just randomly walk around while me and Don were out eating breakfast and everything. And to all people know you got some bad kids. Everybody know your kids are bad as hell. But don't let your bad-ass kids get away from you where they running down the damn pelican. You ever seen them damn bad kids running after them damn pelicans trying to jump on them? It's like, leave them damn things alone.
Wait, on the pelican? Or I thought you
peacock.
Said it was a
peacock. Peacock. I said peacock, yeah. They just running after the peacock.
It's like fly.
And you should see me. Leave the peacock alone. They ain't my children. These ain't even my children. Leave the peacock alone.
All right, Brian.
If you could live in another period of history for 1 week, what period of time and location would you pick?
Harlem in the 70s. Afros, long rides, with bell bottoms and disco. That's me.
Yeah, you'd be pretty cool disco era. Like you got the right like everything is right for you to be
in
the disco era.
I'd be so cool.
Yeah, you'd be cool with an afro and
some
sideburns.
Can you dig it, baby?
Can I just go back to 2019? Can I just go back?
That'd be a great point. I'll take that.
I just want to go outside and hang out with people and drink beer. Like, we'll just go back to 2019. We'll take a trip back in time all the way to 12 months ago. That's all that is. Or 12
perfect.
Months from now in the future.
What's the worst job you ever had?
I remember before I went to Georgia, my mom made me get a job, and I got a job at a temp agency, right? But it was manual labor, and I was working in a damn sewer for 17 hours, man.
Sewer?
Yeah, dog. Because it was a temp job, so it was like manual labor. So they had to, like, you had to do all the temp job, like on construction and all that. Like, I had to work at the shipyard, all that stuff. But, dude, that day I got stuck in a day. And I promise you, it was 3 days. The last day I worked there was in that sewer. It was 3 days before I came to Athens for Georgia.
Wow, only 3 days. That's good.
No. That was it was 3 days before I went. I worked the whole damn summer at that job.
Oh God,
man.
I worked a half day as a door to door canvasser for Greenpeace. We were literally trying to save the whales. It was awful. I got the door slammed in my face enough times I had to quit. We got one from old dad.
What you got?
Me and Brian headed up Chestatee today to play some golf with the old dad folks. You want to go?
Wow.
You want to go?
Dude, I got 5 more hours of complete silence in my draw because she just texted me today on the way. So I don't know. I would prefer to stay in my draws.
Okay. Well, so we invited you. So don't be mad.
Yes.
He wants to know what the target score is this afternoon for me and Brian. I know what Brian's target score is. Brian needs to break 80. Brian's been right on the verge of breaking 80 a bunch of times this summer. He's going to do it today. Last time we were up at Chestatee, I shot a 75. So I'm trying to go lower than that. 74 or under. That's what I'm aimed for.
Cool. What time is tea time?
3:30.
Okay, cool. You guys have fun for me.
Thank you, Randy. We will.
Wish I could be there.
We're going to text you updates.
Why?
Just to let you know how it's going. Because like getting text messages from
that,
us.
I mean, I don't learn how to mute stuff. So, go ahead.
Dang it. He's evolving. Yeah. It's proof.
I'm evolving, dog. I'm moving
Let's
on up.
Takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, takeaways of the day to close the show out every single day. We'll go back to the studio. Ken Roundtree filling in for Wendy today, doing a phenomenal job. Ken, what's your takeaway?
Randy doesn't need permission to go to the shoe show.
Damn it. Damn it. Because mine is, and here's mine. Mine is Andy. First of all, I got two of them. Andy was poor, like me. And two, he's the only one that's going on the field trip that needs a permission slip.
Yep. It's true. If we go on a field, I got to ask.
And it's not that I don't need permission. It's not that I have to ask her. I run it by her. Babe, we're going to the shake. She's going to look at me for a minute. All right.
I like how you phrase stuff. It's the same thing, but you just say it cooler, so it sounds better. I don't got to ask permission, but I got to run it by her. Okay.
I just say, no, I can't just leave the guys go to the, where you going? I'm going to the damn shake, woman. No. Babe, going to the shake.
My takeaway of the day came from Joe Patrick. Pitchers have to have a special relationship with the ball. They got to know it intimately before they can throw it correctly. I didn't know that about starting pitchers. What about you, Brian?
Don't look at people's shoes that hard. Knockoff Tommy Hilfiger shirts were worn by multiple people on this show when we were younger. And we can't have Randy's Uncle Dave on the AMA because he will cuss.
I think that's a great reason to have Uncle Dave on the AMA, because that would be hilarious. All right, maybe by tomorrow we'll know what's going on in the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and the rest of college football. Maybe not. Hope Tukey pitches good tonight. Talk to you guys tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Watch out now!
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.